Welcome to our weekly Church on the Rock podcast. For more information, visit us at churchak.org, download our Church on the Rock AK app, or like us on our Facebook page. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy our weekly podcast.
Hebrews, I would call this message today, Don't Neglect, Don't Neglect. But before I do that, I want to make a special appeal here to you as we've come out of this COVID thing, you know, being shut down a couple times is just, I don't even want to go there. I'm just so tired of it. So good to be able to come together in corporate worship. But we are in a sense of, every time we do this, we have to feel like we have to rebuild, regain momentum. Now, thankfully here, you're a pretty vibrant bunch, and it doesn't take us long to gain our momentum back in Palmer. We pretty much ramp things up and get going. One thing you'll notice here is one thing that doesn't stop is ministry. Ministry continues. Ministry to our children. The thrift store continues to crank on all cylinders, which always could utilize volunteers. And there's people down there that are involved. And there's all kinds of frontline ministries here, technical ministries, security. There's all kinds of stuff that's always going on that can't stop. We just have to keep moving and building and trying to get groups back up, trying to stand things back up on their feet. It takes effort. And takes people. It takes you. And we have a pretty large serving force here when you talk about what goes on here in our Thrifters Rock down the road. We have a lot of people involved. But I want to invite you because we still have people coming back. People haven't come back yet. We have elderly and we have compromised and those who can't participate with us and people who just haven't made their way back yet. It makes for a pretty lean force when you're trying to minister to people. And so I want to throw down the challenge for you not to stand on the sidelines and miss out on what God is doing, but roll up your sleeves and get involved with some like-minded servants and begin to apply yourself. And because I tell you what, your life was designed, first of all, you were meant to be led by God, and you're also meant to give your life away. You have gifts, abilities, talents. The average person has somewhere between 400 to 600 abilities alone in their life that God has given them that we don't even discover a lot of them. You have a lot in you, and God put it in you for a reason, so you could minister to other people. How do you minister to God? You do it by ministering to people around you. So I want to challenge you to join our serve teams. Get involved. You'll never enjoy the fullness of Christ and the potential, you'll never reach the potential that he's put in you without getting involved and giving your life away. That's how that potential is tapped and how God uses his people to minister to people. So I want to challenge you. There's lots of opportunities for you, from children's ministries to our frontline hospitality ministries, from kitchen to everything that happens in the foyer, to our security teams and behind the team technical side with cameras and audios and lights, and we could go on and on, to prayer ministry team. Lots of areas, even down to the thrift store, Thrifters Rock, lots of areas for you to get involved. And all those places are waiting for people like you to find out what God wants to, how he wants to utilize you and grow you and develop you. So I want to challenge you. Jump in. There's all kinds of signups out there on the information table. People have already started signing up from the first service. If you want to get involved, be part of our serve teams, roll up your sleeves, jump in, and you put your name on there. We'll contact you and we'll help you get going. We'll get you plugged in. And you could be part of this force, this moving force from when Jesus rose from the dead that nobody's been able to stop to this day. Be a part of that today in 2021 and get involved and move with us into the future and help us get back on our feet. Amen? Whew. Wow, I did all that? And that wasn't even the message. Oh my goodness, just wait. Don't neglect. Last week we talked about Jesus being front and center. He has no rivals. We just sang about that. Nobody like Jesus. King Jesus. We talked about how he is superior. He is the supreme. He is the radiance. He is the creator. He is Jehovah, Yahweh, the great one. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. And he has been placed front and center, greater than the law, greater than the Torah, greater than the angels, greater than anything and everyone and everybody. It's all about Jesus. We talked about that last week, and that he's enough. He is your righteousness. That there is only one pure sacrifice. Jesus, who laid his life down for you, rose from the grave. All your hope is to be in him. He deserves our full allegiance and our full surrender. It's Jesus and him alone. And that's where we went last week, and that's where Hebrews takes us over and over and over again. And so today, as we look at chapter 2, I'm going to look at the first 4 verses. Boy, it's hard to get through all this stuff. Hebrews is pretty wordy. Next week, we're going to talk about entering God's rest. Talk about some wordy stuff. I'm like, okay, let's put this into our living room where we live. That's what we're going to try to do today. We're going to step through these 4 verses and see what God is saying to us today through his word, which is always timely. All right? Because it's timeless. Let's begin verse 1. Therefore, we must pay much attention, much close attention to what we have heard, lest we drift from it. Oh my, how we are prone to drift. Relationships can cause us to drift. Offense can cause us to drift. All the enticements that we're surrounded with in the age that we are in can cause us to drift. We can simply drift through our own complacency and lethargy. My, how easy it is to drift. So he says, pay close attention. For since the message declared by angels, proven to be reliable in every transgression or disobedience, received a just retribution. In other words, the law was given. It was given through the angels to Moses. He brought down the tablets, and there was penalty for not obeying. And then we go on and say, how shall we escape or neglect this great salvation? If we couldn't stand up under the law, it judged us where we were at. And finally, Jesus, who fulfilled the law and took our sin upon himself, was judged in our place. He is the one who has rescued us. Oh, where else can we go? How can you neglect such a great salvation when where else will you turn? What other avenue can you take? The law points us to Jesus. It was declared first by the Lord. Hey guys, this is God's idea. How many know God always has really good ideas? And it was attested to us by those who heard. Oh, we haven't even gotten to the witnesses of Jesus' death and resurrection. We haven't even gone there. And while God himself also bore witness by signs, wonders, various miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will, and we continue to see the explosion of the gifts and the workings of God through the power of his Spirit through down through the ages, even to where we are now today. The writer of Hebrews comes across with a real sense of urgency. We see this. He says, pay attention, pay really close attention. You know, he's always like jerking us back into focus. Don't miss what I'm going to say. Listen carefully. You see it all through Hebrews, all the way up to where he says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. He really wants to get this point across as he calls us to attention. You know, when you board a plane, it's interesting because the flight attendant is always standing there in the aisle. They have several of them. And they will march you down through some safety procedures in case this aluminum cylinder decides to crash that you're flying around in. I always find it interesting because every time I get on there, I do that. I feel like it's always important to listen to people. I think that's a good habit. But when I get on the plane, I always look around and say, okay, who's going to listen to the attendants today? And it's like, man, nobody's like dialed in. You know, they're all on their iPads and their phones and looking through magazines. Some are like, you know, they're already falling asleep. And like, nobody's paying attention to this flight attendants. There are 3 of them or so. And I'm always thinking, what's going on inside their head? I mean, what are they thinking right now? Are they just, is this something they just put up with? I mean, do they know nobody really is listening? And I mean, do you ever think that? Is it just me? Is it just, I don't know. I go there every time I get on a plane. I feel for them. Because nobody cares, and they're trying to get you out of the plane alive, man. They're trying to give you some really good advice, some saving tips, so you can get out of that thing in case it goes down in flames. Everybody's just like, whatever. It's kind of like what the writer of the Hebrews is doing here right now. He's trying to get people to listen out so they can get out alive, right? I mean, they're backsliding, they're turning away from Jesus, running from the faith, they're being persecuted, thrown in jail, and he's going, look, Jesus has saved your neck. What are you doing? Listen up. Run to Jesus. He's the only one who could pull this off. It's kind of like when Jesus did this. He's always teaching the crowds. He would always say, hey, listen up. I tell you the truth. They go, what? The master said what? I mean, he would say, hey, I'll say it again. And then he would say, it has been said this way, but I tell you. And boy, it was time to listen up. Getting their attention. So here the writer is telling us, therefore, since we must pay close attention to what we have heard, lest we drift. How shall we escape this great salvation? Pay attention to Jesus. This, pay attention. Don't skip over. Don't take this lightly. Do not neglect. Pay attention to Jesus and this wonderful, glorious salvation. Why should we do that? Why should we put so much weight on our Savior? Well, he says something interesting here. Says, for since the message was declared by angels, proven to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received this just retribution or penalty. Again, he's talking to these Jewish Christians, and he's pointing back to the law, and the angels delivered this to Moses, brought the tablets down the mountain. And, of course, none could keep the law. There was a retribution. There was a penalty for breaking the law. It was just, this law carries a sense of justice with it. He's pointing us to the law, so let's not skim over that. Let's go there. Why is he doing that? I mean, pay attention to Jesus. Obviously, you couldn't uphold the law, but Jesus did that for you. But there's not the law isn't just condemnation. There is some life here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1 through 9. Let's just take a quick snapshot of what was given through the law. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it. That's what we're going to talk about next week. That you may fear the Lord your God, that you and your sons' sons, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be long. There's blessing there. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord your God, God of your fathers, has promised you in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk to them when they sit down in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates. Why pay attention to this great salvation? Well, every transgression, this disobedience brings retribution. The law was given, but it's not just a bummer. Something we need to be aware of through the law was God was saying, I want to lead you into a very blessed life. I want you to live a long life. I want you to prosper and be rich in every way. I want you to experience my goodness poured out. So I give you this, and if you follow my ways, he says, this will happen. I will bless you. If you follow me, I'm going to tell you you're the way I commanded you to live. If you do that, there is great blessing. But if you don't, it's not going to go well for you. It won't go well at all. And the Old Testament, obviously, in the law, continues to point to Jesus once again. Here we are. That didn't work out too well, but there is one you can follow in which great blessing will be released upon your life. Great blessing will be yours. I'm not talking about prosperity or unhinged wealth. I'm just simply talking about living in the goodness of God, following Jesus, as he points us to this great salvation. Reminds me of this pastor a long time ago. He was on stage, and he had a table and set up with a bunch of raw cooking ingredients. And he holds up some flour and says, hey, you want some raw flour this morning, man? You want to choke some of this stuff down? Huh? I bet you're hungry. And they're like, nah, no thanks. I don't think so. Okay, well, how about a raw egg? Yeah, raw egg cracks the egg, you know, in the glass. And bloop, you know, and slides right down, right? Drink one of the. No, it doesn't sound real good. Kind of like my food cooked. You know, how about yeast? He wants a, you know, pulls out a packet of yeast. Like, he wants a yeast. He says, I know. You want some real vanilla extract, right? And he pulls out a bottle and you take a swig of that. That'll get you going. Now, I know on Sunday morning we're all hungry. I don't know why. It's just like that on Sundays. Especially if you're in this 21-day fast with us. We're all just beside ourselves right now. We got 1 week left, and we're, you know, we can't see straight. You know, we go to bed. I was sleeping the other night. I woke up, and Lori, I told Lori, I says, man, I dreamed I was eating sugar last night, candy bars. I was getting them off. I said, what's that all about, you know? I'd never done that before, and my mind is mocking me and taunting me. And so, but finally he pulls his cake, and it's all baked, and he says, how about some cake? And everybody's like, yeah, cake, man, especially right now. Woo, yummy. Now, most everyone wants cake on Sunday, I think. You're sitting there hungry. Cake that's made of flour and sugar and eggs and all these raw yeast and vanilla ingredients, right? We all want cake. We all get cake. That's the good news. That's my next point. I'm not promising you that in this life that you won't eat some flour, but I'm just telling you, in the end, you get some cake. We all get cake. So why pay attention to this beautiful Jesus is because he's not your enemy. He says, hey, I want to bless your life. I want to bless you. I want you to eventually get cake. That's where I'm leading you. Since this message that's been declared, this law that has been given, there's just retribution for it. There's a penalty. But he goes on to say, don't neglect this great salvation. Why? Because it was declared first by the Lord. In other words, this is a big deal because it was God's idea from the very start. Your forgiveness, your wholeness, and your salvation was purely from the heart of God.